Your Money Briefing. Money and Market Stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. Next time you buy detergent or diapers, you'll be entangled in the Amazon effect. More on that in a moment. First, these money headlines. A government watchdog group says some U.S. colleges and universities are inappropriately urging alumni to postpone payments on their student loans, causing their balances to rise while allowing the schools to skirt regulatory oversight. The practice is one reason why some borrowers' balances are rising, and so few schools are sanctioned for leaving students in excessive debt. The report examines a decades-old law that's designed to punish a college if a high share of its students default within 3 years of graduating or dropping out. Ultimately, if a high rate persists, the school is barred from collecting any federal loan or grant dollars from new students, which is the school's main source of revenue. The emergence of genetics-based medicines is pushing the cost of treating certain diseases to new levels, forcing hospitals and health insurers to reckon with how to cover total cost per patient, approaching $1 million. Novartis listed its newly approved cell therapy for cancer at $475,000, while Gilead Sciences priced its rival drug at $373,000. And the price of the drugs is just the beginning. Hospitals and insurers say administering these therapies can add hundreds of thousands of dollars to the tab, including lengthy hospital stays and use of other services and medicines. And the Wall Street Journal Real Estate Bureau reports in tight housing markets where bidding wars are common, buyers who need financing can strengthen their offers by working with a locally based mortgage broker or loan officer. That's the word from real estate agents and lenders. Agents want to work with buyers whose lenders know the local market and have a record of getting deals done. That reassures the listing agent and the seller that a sale will close. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Is your 401k on track? Bloom, with three O's, is the simple and smart way to grow your 401k. Go online to bloom401k.com to get your truly free 401k audit. Simply grab your employer-held 401k account login info, and in a matter of minutes, Bloom performs an unbiased analysis of your 401k right before your eyes, showing you the best fund mix to meet your goals while minimizing investment fees. Bloom does all the work for you. The hardest part for you is remembering there are three O's in Bloom. Enter promo code WSJ for your first month free. Visit bloom401k.com and try it for free now.
Welcome back, everybody. It's called the Amazon effect. We know it well. The online giant firing harpoons in the form of competitive pricing toward any retail rival in its path. And Wall Street Journal reporter Akani Otani joins us to discuss how some of the world's biggest brands are feeling the heat. So Akani, what's really significant here is the group of earnings results from some of the biggest names in the consumer staple space.
Right. In the last few weeks, we've seen results come in from Procter & Gamble. They produce Pampers diapers, Tide detergent, Gillette razors, Kimberly-Clark. They also do diapers. They also do Kleenex tissues, things that everyone has in their house or their office. And then Coca-Cola as well, of course, maker of some of the most popular beverages around the world.
And it took a lot of analysts by surprise. They thought that increases in inflation would bring investors around to some of these businesses that sell household goods and basic necessities, but those businesses are reluctant to raise prices in order to stay competitive, and that's keeping their profits in check, and that's the Amazon effect.
Right. I mean, a lot of these companies have actually faced tremendous pressure over the years to keep prices for these core products, be they diapers or laundry detergent, low because they're facing increased competition from places like Amazon and Walmart, which have really ramped up their e-commerce businesses. And so when you're trying to keep your prices low, it really does hamper how much you can sort of inflate your profit margins. Now, the bet would have been that, you know, if you're a household name like Procter & Gamble, maybe you have a little bit more leeway to raise prices because everybody knows you, they walk into the supermarket, you're a familiar brand. But that hasn't actually been the case. And we've been hearing a lot on these earnings calls from these companies that they're really struggling to raise prices. And in some cases, they're actually having to cut prices for core products because they're finding that their sales growth is just not coming in.
And it's probably more than prices. It's the convenience also. I mean, when it comes to laundry detergent and a large box of diapers, why not have the UPS guy do all the legwork and bring it to your house?
Right. It really does speak to a broader shift in how consumers are shopping. I mean, you know, even if they do prefer to get the Procter & Gamble brand of diapers, they might not necessarily want to schlep out to the store to get it. So it's really sort of putting a lot of pressure on these companies that a lot of investors thought could sort of weather the storm a bit.
And these companies, you know, even with them dangling dividends in front of investors, that's not been enough to lure them to jump in and buy shares.
Right. That's another sort of surprising aspect of the consumer staples stocks underperformance. They actually offer a pretty hefty dividend yield. So essentially, a lot of investors think of them as almost like bond-like stocks. You can get an average dividend yield of about 3% if you hold one of these stocks on average, versus just 2.4% for the broader S&P 500. But actually, even though we've seen a lot of volatility in the stock market this year, that dividend yield hasn't been enough, it seems like, to attract investors into the space, just because we keep hearing they're really concerned about the long-term business prospects.
Can you just give us an idea of what the reaction was like, and for our listeners also, when Philip Morris earnings came out earlier this month and how that set off alarm bells?
Yeah, that was a big one. It's probably one of the biggest companies to start off this stream of sort of negative earnings this season. Philip Morris, it produces cigarettes, you know, it has the Marlboro line. It's very sort of a mainstream for cigarette smokers. And yet when it reported its earnings, it said that it was also having difficulty raising prices for cigarettes and also having trouble responding to the decline in smoking, actually. And to compensate, it's been trying to invest in sort of cigarette alternatives, so e-cigarettes and other sort of devices that, you know, it says are sort of a healthier alternative to your traditional cigarette. But the growth there hasn't been enough to offset the slowdown in sales for its traditional core products. And so we actually saw the stock take the biggest one-day decline since the company went public in 2008.
Wow. And it's not just the shares of consumer staples taking a hit. You point out in your story that telecom, real estate, and utility stocks are also down. That seems to be beyond the Amazon effect.
Right. It's not like Amazon we think of as being competitors and sort of reaching into the real estate space or your phone plan. But Amazon has been incredibly dominant in the overall stock market. And I think it goes back to that. It's investors have really sort of gravitated toward a handful of really fast growing companies that are often sort of slated as technology focused firms like Amazon and Netflix this year. And it's sort of been at the expense of these slower growing, sort of more steady businesses in the utility space or the telecom space or, of course, the consumer staples space.
And for the investment community, this is something really to get used to because not a lot of light is being seen at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, it's hard to find people who are optimistic here. I mean, you know, the one sort of thing you hear is maybe we see a pickup in volatility and that will push investors out of sort of the high-flying tech names and into more of the bond-like sectors like your staples and your utilities. But we haven't seen that happen yet.
And a good reason to stay with the Wall Street Journal markets team to follow the sector. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Akani Otani joining us here in our studio. Akani, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal invites you to attend our first ever Future of Everything Festival, taking place May 8th through the 10th in New York City. To learn more and buy tickets, visit us at foefestival.wsj.com. Get a special offer of $100 off on tickets using promo code FOEF100.